This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, I think we figured out how to motivate this team. The entire team, the coaching staff, the players, everybody listens to What the Puck, and they realized, hey, these guys aren't happy. We're just going to win all the games next. So let's talk about this team that is currently on a four-game win streak, three since we talked last. Joining me, as always, to recap it all, Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
I have a bit of a cold. What's going on with you?
I feel better than last week. Isn't that good?
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, the Caps, I think.
So, yeah, if I sound like I got my nose stuffed up or that I have a cough drop in my mouth, it's because both of those are true.
Both are true. And you know what? We won't hold it against you. It's okay. It's fine. People get sick.
I appreciate that.
You know, it's October. It's getting colder out here in the D.C. Baltimore area. But we've got three games to talk about since we talked last. The Caps were up against the Rangers, the Blackhawks, and the Calgary Flames. They were in Chicago and in Calgary. And I got to say, I watched all of the Chicago game, and I fell asleep during the Calgary game because I'm old now. But in Chicago, this was a completely different team than what we saw against Colorado. So what do you think the biggest difference is between last week and this week? Because, you know, last week we were kind of talking like the sky was falling, and we were talking about how to switch things up as Todd Reardon lost the team, that kind of stuff. And then this week they come out and they're playing gangbusters. What's the big difference here?
Well, I think the difference between the last week and this week is they've been playing overall better. I think they were very inconsistent last week. I mean, if you look at the schedule, you know, you saw an overtime loss to Dallas, you saw a loss to Nashville, a win over Dallas, and then a loss to Colorado, and then they were able to come out and get that win against Toronto. And so it was like they're up and down, up and down, up and down, and then they've gone and what, had a three-game winning streak, like you said, with their victory over the Rangers, Chicago, and Calgary, and these are games where they played well. And I think the Capitals, historically, have been a team that struggles at the beginning of the season. They kind of start slow. And you saw that even back during like the Peter Bondra era, where this team would struggle at the beginning. And then they just kind of pick things up as they go along. And I kind of wonder if they're hitting the stride a little bit. And I wonder if this road trip is coming at a good time. It's a chance for the guys to bond and really come together and start playing their best hockey, or getting back to their best hockey early in the season, and sort of set a tone. And I think a lot of credit also has to go to John Carlson, who is just lighting it up right now. I mean, the dude's playing ridiculous hockey. He is currently, at the moment of recording, leading the league in points. And he's a freaking defenseman, which is insane. He's got 20 points, 15 of those are assists. You got Ovechkin, who's currently fourth in the league in goal. He's tied with a bunch of guys for fourth, one of those being TJ Oshie. Both of them have seven. They're behind Austin Matthews, James Neal, although I think like four of James Neal's goals of his nine came in one game. And David Pasternak, who I feel like is missing a letter from his last name, he is currently in first with 10 goals. But, you know, it seems like the top guys are starting to play better. I think the new guys, Garnet Hathaway is getting a lot of good press lately. You know, these guys are starting to play well. I like, for the most part, what I've seen with Brandon Leipzig. I think Chandler Stephenson, after having a rough season last year, he's come along quite nicely. I think Michael Kempe coming back is going to, you know, it has helped the defense to settle in a bit. And it seems like the team is just gelling a bit. So, you know, I think this road trip will really be a good indicator of where this team is at. They're going up against an Edmonton team that is flying right now. Where did the standings just go that I had? I believe they are tied for first in the West with Colorado with 15 points. They are 7-2-1. That is the Edmonton Oilers, which is pretty surprising to say. So that's going to be a pretty good test, as well as then they're going up against Vancouver, who is at 12 points at 6-3. So these next two games are a pretty good test in terms of seeing where this team is at.
The next two games are definitely going to be good ones to see. And like you said, it seems like this team really is starting to gel. There are a lot of new guys that came into the team. And like you said, Garnet Hathaway, he was a guy that was real big with Calgary last year. He seemed to be a fan favorite there. He's with the Capitals now, and we didn't really see a lot from him throughout the beginning of the season, but it looks like his game's starting to step up a bit. And I think you brought it up too. I think it's really great to see Chandler Stephenson do his thing. I mean, he's a veteran of this team right now. He even got a goal in the last game against Calgary, which was huge because, I mean, he's not really known to be a goal scorer. Stephenson had not scored since December 31st, 2018. So 36 games since his last goal score. So, I mean, that's huge for Chandler Stephenson, a guy who was kind of on the bubble here at the beginning of this season. But I think, I mean, you brought it up already. We got to bring up John Carlson. He's only the fourth defenseman in NHL history to score 20 points in October. Now with Michael Kempney back on the line with him, I mean, the sky's the limit with this guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way that this team is playing, the way that he is playing right now, I don't want to say sky's the limit because he's not like 20, but he's certainly not old by any means. And so this is a guy, he's a leader on your team. There's a reason he's got the A. He's only 29. Still got plenty of hockey left. You just kind of hope, you wonder a little bit. He's almost a 2 points a game player right now, which is ridiculous to say. 2 points per game, I think is a more accurate way of putting that. Anyways, I'm looking at it going, is he going to be able to maintain this in terms of what he's doing right now? I don't anticipate that. I think he is going to slump at some point. I just hope that's kind of when other guys around him start picking themselves up. And the fact that he's had a couple different defensive partners, I think is even more evidence at how good he is doing. With the fact that, you know, you play with someone like when he and Alzner were together for a long time, it's kind of second nature at that point to play with that guy. You know where he's going to be when you're in a certain spot. You know how they want the puck when it's passed to them. You know how they want it on their stick. You know if they like the puck being like a soft pass, hard pass, whatever the case may be. You know how to play with that guy. But he's had a couple different guys he's playing with. And so the fact that he's able to step up. And yes, he gets opportunities on the power play. I mean, he plays on the penalty kill. He gets all these opportunities to play well. But he's taking advantage of it. And I think you just need to do whatever they can do to keep him going while trying to get the other guys motivated as well. Works for me.
Who was he with before Kempney this season? Was it Singenthaler?
I think he's played with Singenthaler. I feel like he started the season with someone else. Who did he start the season with? I'm pretty sure he's played with like at least two other guys. And I'm sure during games he's been paired up with other people. Which, you know, it's not the end of the world. But I have to imagine when you have a steady partner, you play better. You're more confident out there. You're more comfortable. And so I'm not surprised at all. I'm quite surprised in terms of how well he has been doing.
Yeah, I mean, John Carlson is a fantastic defenseman. I think him and Michael Kempney back together on that top line kind of solidifies that is going to be your top pair going forward. But like you said, I mean, I was still impressed with what he was able to do with Singenthaler. I think the two of them played really well together. You know, that was the biggest thing. I mean, we saw what happened with Braden Holtby against Colorado, 3 shots, 3 goals. I think he didn't have a lot of confidence in the defenseman in front of him. Now with Kempney back, now Singenthaler looks like he's going to be back. You know, it wasn't a long-term injury.
Was he playing with Orlov for a little bit?
I don't remember him and Orlov ever playing together, but I could be completely wrong. I always thought it was Jensen and Orlov together, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
Anyway, well, Orlov seems like he's at least plus minus wise. And I'm not the biggest fan of that statistic. He's a -7. Jensen's a -6. So that's a problem. And Orlov, with all the alleged offensive talent he has, and we know he does, you know, he's only got 5 points, 11 games, which is, I guess, not bad for a defenseman. I'll take that. He's got more points than some of the forwards.
I mean, you know my stance on Orlov. I'm not a huge fan. I think that's a lot of money for a guy who can be very streaky and isn't always somebody you can count on. But he's a capital, so I mean, that's our guy right now.
But I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
But you know, I think with the way Carlson is playing, you can have a guy, not necessarily like an Orlov, but someone who is, you know, maybe struggling just a little bit. And it's not necessarily the end of the world. You know, the forwards are starting to step it up a bit because Kuznetsov's got 7 points in 8 games after he was out to start the season due to a suspension for being an idiot. Eller's got 8 points in 11 games. Backstrom's got 9 and 11. Oshie, 10 and 11. Ovechkin's got 7 goals, 5 assists. Nice little split there. Pretty even in terms of getting his points. Vrana, I'd like to see a little bit more. He's only got 5 in 11 games. That's kind of a problem for a guy who's supposed to be an offensive talent. You'd like to see his stats up considerably, as well as Carl Hagelin. I feel like only 4 points in 11 games. Seems like he's had a slow start to the season, but I'm not concerned about him just yet. He's a +3 at the moment. I think he's going to play better and better. He's not necessarily brought in to be a massive offensive talent, so I'm not concerned about him at this point. One guy, though, I would like to talk to you about a little bit is Richard Panik. He's got no points in 8 games. It seems like he's been struggling a bit. I believe he got bumped down to the fourth line, so he's a guy that I'd like to see a bit more of considering the money they're paying him. Which you give me a second, I can bring it up. But I think it's like $2 million and change.
They're paying
in terms
him,
of what he's getting.
He's all. You're not going to see him anytime soon. He's on long term injury reserve.
What did he do?
He collided with.
I forgot about him.
He collided with Jonas singing.
No, like. Oh, good. We're injuring each other.
Yeah, that's kind of what
that's
happened.
Freaking delightful. Wait, what did he hurt? I can't remember. He's 2.75. It helps with their salary cap situation, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, so Travis Boyd is taking his spot right now. They both, it's a Singenthaler and Panik, whatever, both suffered upper body injuries. So they're not really saying.
Show up, like, vague.
Yeah, it could be.
They injured a part of their body. It's like, no kidding.
It could be a concussion, but given the fact that they put him on long-term injury reserve, so he's missing at least 10 games over the next 24 days, I mean, I'm thinking it's something wrong with his body, not his brain.
I like to point out that the brain is part of the body.
Yeah, but it's a muscle, sure, but... that's its own thing. We figured out you can't diagnose the brain injuries like you can a torn tricep.
It is certainly more difficult. But anyways, I'd like to see when he comes back, and it sounds like it's going to be a while. I honestly totally forgot that he was out on long-term injury reserve. It sounds, you know, I'd like to see him, obviously he'll be slowly brought back in, but I'd like to see him step it up a bit in the offensive department.
Let me ask you this, though. So let's just say, hypothetically, Richard Panik is out. I'm going to say Panik forever, everybody. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm going to say Panik all the time.
It doesn't even look like Panik. It's a K, dude.
I know, but they're...
And it's got the little thingy over the A.
He's European. I mean, they put weird letters in all over the place. But Panik, let's just say he does heal up and he does come back. But Travis Boyd is really impressing people and he's doing really well at the NHL level again. I mean, it was just last week that you and I were talking about Travis Boyd being the AHL player of the week. And if he does so well, there's no way that they can keep him down there. They're going to have to bring him back. So sure enough, Panik gets hurt, and then here is Travis Boyd right there again. So let's say Travis Boyd is playing really well. He's, you know, lighting the world on fire. Panik gets better. They bring him back, but Travis Boyd's way cheaper than Richard Panik. So do you stick with Travis Boyd? Do you send him to the AHL? I mean, what do you do at this point?
I think you have to play the players that you're getting the most out of. And I think if the team is doing really well, you don't put a guy back in just because he might cost a little bit more. Now, on the other side of things, $2.75 million for a team that doesn't have a lot of salary cap space is a lot to set up in the press box. So I think if Boyd is doing really well, or the team overall, be it Boyd or somebody else, are doing really well without Panik and they're winning, maybe they have in the press box for a little bit and they try and make a move to get him out of here just to free up that cap space. Or you just hang on to that with the assumption that eventually someone's going to need a day off and Panik comes in and then you hope he plays well and forces his way back into the lineup. But that's a lot of money, and it's not like it's just for this season. They signed him to a four-year deal. They've got him for the next 3 years after this season. He's not going anywhere anytime soon unless they trade him, and I highly doubt a team that needs the cap space is going to buy him out after the season. So it's going to be an interesting decision, but hopefully it's a good problem to have for Todd Reardon and his staff in terms of who to play, because then that just means that everyone's playing well.
Does Travis Boyd, when he does get sent back down, does he have to pass through waivers?
Yeah, I think he had to pass through waivers going down the first time.
Yeah, nobody was interested, but then he did really well, so I'm wondering if he kind of turned a lot of heads at this point to be like...
I think he's going to have to turn a lot of heads in the NHL for someone to really... Because right now they've got a pretty good sample size in terms of his play at the NHL level, and it's not like he's playing on a bad team. Like, he's playing on a good team and isn't contributing, and he's had opportunities, you know, last season, the season before, and this one, and he hasn't necessarily been taking advantage of them. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he was sent down, that he got to clear waivers again. But then again, if you have a team that's struggling or a team that's looking for some depth, I wouldn't be surprised, because he's cheap. He's only $800,000. And if you're a team that's struggling and looking for depth and you have that cap space, why not? It's not like the end of the world if you bring him up and you're like, oh, didn't work. I can try and send him down and keep him in the organization or potentially lose him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got picked up, but I also really wouldn't be surprised if he passed the waivers again. But let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope that he plays well and gets to stick around.
Yeah, absolutely. What else should we talk about in Caps world?
They're doing pretty well. I know we had the guy on Facebook who was a little bit upset with us for talking about wanting to move out the coaching staff. And I think the conversation we had about the coaching staff last week was more because the inconsistencies from last season weren't being fixed. And I know that, like, some of the reason they got knocked out of the playoffs in the first round last year is the team was just tired. They'd never literally in their history gone that far. They'd never played. I mean, they had the 1 year in 98, but I feel like some of these players weren't even born yet. I mean, that's probably not true, but still.
Oh, it's true.
Who wasn't born yet?
Isn't Singenthaler?
Wait, Singenthaler's only 22. When was he born? God, I'm old. 97. No, he existed.
Okay.
He probably couldn't walk yet, but he existed. Or he could barely walk, but he existed. You know, the team was tired, whatever, but you expected them to go into the offseason. They didn't make any changes to the coaching staff, and I didn't mean in terms of Todd Reardon, but more like his assistants, because there were things that this team struggled with that they just weren't fixing. And then we came back into the regular season, and you're like, all right, they had plenty of time. They had the offseason. They had extra time, more time than they had in the past, to fix the issues that they had. And then you go into it, and you're like, hey, you're having the same problems. Like, why haven't you fixed this yet? And it was incredibly frustrating. And you think, like, look, you've had some problems. You constantly are trying to do the same thing, and it's not working, and I'm fairly certain that's a definition of insanity. So fix it. And if you're not willing to fix it, bring someone in who will, because it wasn't working. Now, it seems like if things are working a bit better, they're on a winning streak, so obviously you're not going to touch it. But that doesn't mean that just because this team is doing well right now, that you can't find... Or let me try that sentence again, because that was to sound more negative than I intended. That when they struggle, you don't look at the team as, what's the problem? And when you have a lot of the same players that you had in the past, and you're struggling, and it might not necessarily be the players, you have to look at the coaching staff. And I know they have a bunch of different guys than they had during the cup run, but this is a team on paper that should be playing better than they or should have been playing better than they were when we had that conversation last week. And it's perfectly natural to look at the coaching staff and go, hey, something's wrong, especially when you haven't fixed what isn't working. Now, they're playing better, so you back off of that and go, well, maybe it wasn't working, and now they're executing it better. And maybe that was the problem, is that the players just weren't executing it. It's tough to say, given A, we're not at practice, so we don't see what's going on, but then B, maybe other teams are just playing really well at that moment that you're playing against. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that can go into it, so we will see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's a conversation that people are having on Twitter and on Facebook, bringing up, should Reardon be let go? That type of thing. People were asking that. So, I mean, you and I, we're fans with microphones. We're going to ask those questions too. We're not the media. We're not, we don't get paid to do this. We're not with the Washington Post. So, we're going to ask those questions. Should Reardon to be let go? Should he not be? He's been here over a year. He should know the team better because he was an assistant.
That's the thing. He's been here over a year. Exactly. Like, he's been there long enough that he should know.
Right. And, I mean, is it really early in this season? Absolutely. 100% it is. But if the Caps are playing like it's, you know, February already, there's got to be a reason. We're going to talk it out and try to figure out why it's happening that way. Could it, like, honestly, could it be the coach lost the team? I mean, we saw Bruce Boudreau let go on Black Friday right after Thanksgiving. That was 2 months into the season. Now, he had been here a couple years, sure. But
I completely changed what he was doing, though. And the players just like, I don't know if so much he lost the players at that point. It just wasn't working.
He 100% lost Ovi. 100% lost Ovi. There was like a week or two before he was let go. Ovi wanted to go out on the ice and Boudreau sat him down and said, no, you're on the bench, and walked away. And you can see Ovi mumble something under his breath.
Yeah, I remember. He called him a not very nice name.
Yeah. And after that,
allegedly called him a not very nice name.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a lip reader, then there's a few different interpretations you can go with. But supposedly it was not a very nice name. And then within a week, 2 weeks, Bruce Boudreau was gone. So things happen. It's good that we get to talk about them. And I'm happy to see the Caps are doing better. But what do you think, though, with these wins? You know, when they got embarrassed by Colorado, Colorado was undefeated at that time. And then they're up against teams like the Rangers and Chicago and Calgary. Are these less than stellar teams that they're beating?
Well, they went up against Toronto, who's been playing, I believe they're doing well. Yeah, they're currently 6th in the 5-4-2, 12 points, 11 games. Not like lighting it up, but they're not doing terrible. They were able to come out and beat Toronto. They beat a Calgary team that is currently 9th in the West with 11 points, 5-5-1, or at least they are now. I don't know what the record was at that point. The Rangers are struggling a bit. They're a young team. They're currently bad. Can't really think of a better way to put it. Yeah, they're second to last in the Eastern Conference. That's not very good. But they have some decent players. But I think the Caps just needed a bit of a wake-up call. I think you go up against a couple teams, you know, get some opportunities to play. You have going up against a Chicago team that's second to last in the West. But again, these are early in the season, and it just kind of doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think the next three games, you're going to Edmonton, going to Vancouver, and then going to Toronto. These are tough games just because you're playing in Canada, and they tend to like their hockey. Edmonton's doing very well, Vancouver's doing well, and Toronto's doing pretty good. So it's a good test to see where this team is at. It's a good chance because they're on the road for a chance to focus before they come home and play Buffalo next Friday, which is a game, Brandon, that I will be at.
Really? You're going to be there?
Yeah. My dad got tickets because he's from outside of Buffalo. He's from Batavia. He got tickets to the game with some people from work. He had 2 extra tickets, so my brother and I are joining him. I have no idea where we're sitting, so I'll have to report that to you next week or the week after in terms of where I sat. But I will be seeing my first game. I will set up Verizon Center at Capital One of this season next Friday.
Very cool. I can't wait to.
Here's the important question. Here, first of all, I can see the new scoreboard, which apparently is awesome, which really isn't that big of a deal, but like it's still kind of cool to have.
It's a pretty big deal. It is huge.
Here's the question I have for you, Brandon. What jersey should I wear?
Oh, the Stadium Series jersey.
What?
I don't have a Stadium Series. Blue, and it's got, you know, red at the bottom.
No, I don't have that one because I'm not a moron.
Oh, you should buy it.
Okay, shut up. I think I should. Is it Backstrom? I think I have my Nicholas Backstrom Stanley Cup Champs jersey. I think I'll go with that one.
So you got a Stanley Cup Champs jersey?
Yeah, I got after they won. I remember they won, and I texted my wife because she was a residential camp director, so she was out on. She was watching the game on a big screen on her summer camp property, and I texted her, and I was like, "I'm about to spend so much money on merchandise," and she was like, "Yay!" And I was like, "I have a lot of hockey jerseys. It's kind of a joke how many like sports jerseys I have because I do have a pretty decent amount. But I'd like to point out I've only paid full price for like 3 of them, and I have a lot." So everything else I get like on eBay for cheap or the gifts or whatever. Anyways, so I text her and I was like,
I know you think I have too many jerseys and you're going to yell at me if I buy another one, but, well, A, it's my money. But then B, they just won the cup and I kind of want one with a patch on it. And she goes, yeah, you should do that. So I got me a Nick Backstrom Stanley Cup patch jersey that, like, it's not one big patch. That sounds stupid. But they got the little patch in the corner. I wanted it to be the one they wore when they were playing, but it says, like, Stanley Cup champs on it. I was like, whatever, that's fine, too. So I'm thinking I'll rock that one.
I mean, that would make sense to me. I'm all for it. I just bought.
Or should I go old school?
No.
I could go with the old black or blue.
No.
But that'd be kind of weird. Or should I go with the old red?
You go
or white?
You go Stanley Cup champions. That's what you got to do.
Old red one? I think I have an old red. Oh yeah, I have an old red one with the Gartner on it. That one's heavy too. You did go with the champs one?
You got to go with the champs one. Come on. They're the champs.
All right, you're probably right.
All right. So have we covered everything in Caps World?
Probably. I don't know.
All right. Well, that's it for Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, the past week, Hershey went on quite the road trip. They've been to Toronto, Belleville, Lovell, and they're currently playing right now in Rochester. Nothing quite like a trip up north when it starts to get cold. Anyways, on the ice, they went 2-0 with wins over Belleville and Lovell. That puts them at 2-1 on their road trip after that loss to Toronto, which is not too bad. Now, I had mentioned before they're currently playing against Rochester before heading back home to the Giants Center on Saturday against Utica. They then don't play again until the following Friday, that being November 1st. I know they usually play weekend games, but still quite a while without having a game. So they go from, what is it, Saturday to Friday. Usually they have like a Sunday game or I feel like a Tuesday or Wednesday in between. But no, they have a nice long week off, which is just weird to look at on schedule. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-0 with wins over Atlanta and Orlando and are currently 3-0 to start their season. They're also playing at the moment in the first of three games, all of them against Norfolk. After tonight, they have back-to-back on Friday and Saturday. And then after that, they don't play again until November 3rd. A crazy schedule is like an ECHL thing, I guess. So that one I'm not so worried about. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Another cool thing is this Saturday up in Hershey, they're doing Reese's Trick or Treat Night as the promotion. And all Ooh. Fans 12 and under, they get a trick or treat bag when they get in. And then they can go trick or treating around the concourse during the pregame and first intermission. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say anything if the kids are allowed to dress up or not. But can you imagine doing the...
Why would you not let them dress up?
Well, I mean, there's like... safety concerns and stuff now with people getting dressed up and covering their faces and bringing stuff like lightsabers.
Fine. Lame, but fine.
Yeah, it's a sucky world we live in now, but pretty cool that they're doing that. I mean, where else, if you're going to go trick-or-treating, you got to do it in Hershey because, I mean, they make all the candy.
Okay, hold on. I get that, but I've been to Hershey, I think it's called Hershey Park in the Dark. Or Hershey's, whatever their Halloween thing is, I went a couple of years ago, and it was crap. They had like one spider hanging from a thing, and like maybe some orange lights, and that was it. And that was their big like Halloween thing. I was really disappointed.
Well, that's a bummer. I've never been for Halloween.
Well, don't. I mean, unless they switch it up, and maybe they have since then. To be fair, and maybe I've been spoiled because I was in Disney. What was that? Not last weekend, but the weekend before. And I went to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, and that was fun. And that's like you go around and get all trick or treating candy and stuff. They have a big show with the Sanderson sisters, as well as a number of other characters. So that was well done. But the Hershey one left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of those Disney ones on YouTube, and they start that stuff in like mid August.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. I was asking my brother-in-law works down for Disney in Orlando. And I was asking him, like, when it all starts. He told me, and I was like, what? Like, how are you getting all excited for Halloween in, like, mid-freaking August? Like, that's just weird to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're going to tear it all down by next Thursday and have Christmas up next Friday. So,
which is also strange.
They're going to – good for them. But if – yeah, you know. It's Disney, people. It's the happiest place on Earth. It's what they do.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
All right, well, everybody, let's say it together. Go Bears! Go Stingrays! Now let's go around the NHL. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff happening. So, Coach Dan, catch us all up. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, actually, I think I missed a trade a few weeks back. And maybe I did talk about it. I honestly can't remember. So, I'll bring it up again just in case. The Rangers sent forward Vladislav Nemtsnikov to Ottawa for defenseman Nick Ebert and a fourth-round pick in 2021. Winnipeg recently claimed veteran defenseman Lucas Spezza off waivers from the Islanders. I think it was today or yesterday. Florida signed forward Brian Boyle to a one-year deal worth a reported total of $940,000. And finally, New Jersey and forward Nico Hischier came to an agreement on a seven-year extension that starts next season worth a reported total of $50.75 million. Comes with a cap hit of $7.25 million. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
That's big contracts and big moves already. I mean,
that kid's pretty good.
We're only a month or so, not even a month or so into the season, but wow, that's a little wild.
Hey, got to spend some money to make money.
I guess.
I don't really know how that made sense from what I just said, but whatever.
All right, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of things from time to time. I don't know, whatever I tend to throw out there. It's kind of hard with a little one now. Sometimes makes it hard to be on my phone. Talking Caps hockey as well as Arsenal Football Club and how they suck. And losing to Sheffield United. Are you freaking kidding me? Unai Emery driving me crazy. And I think it's time for you to go. But somehow that was fine to me on Twitter at WTP Coach Channel. If you've enjoyed the show and enjoyed Jersey Talk, then why don't you go ahead and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's when you'll find out when new shows come out, as well as other things related to the Washington Capitals, and if they have new jerseys at any point, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon. To be honest, I feel like, are they even wearing the vintage one this season? I feel like they're going to at some point, right?
They're doing the vintage red for, I think, 12 games or something
like
that.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we're going to get for a while. Like, I don't imagine we're going to get any sort of, like, weird other jerseys, like your bizarro blue one or the one from the Winter Classic at Nats Park. Like, aside from those, I don't think we're getting any weird ones unless we get into another Stadium Series game or somehow Winter Classic.
Those are the last two that I bought.
Well, we all make mistakes, and apparently you make them twice.
My Ovi jersey I have is from one of his first years, and it still has the A on the jersey.
I have an Ovechkin with an A. It's the wrong A. It's the A that should be the letter on the back of the jersey, not on the front. Basically, it used to be where at Capital One, you could go down to the store and get a name put on the back. And I think I told this story before on here where I asked for the A to be put on because I already had a Ovechkin on the back and the guy was like, oh, and he was like looking around for different A's to put on. Like, I guess they ran out of like, I think the black. So he grabbed one of the ones that they would put on for the name on or for the names for the back. And he just grabbed one and put it on the front. And I didn't notice until I got home and I was like, oh, damn it. Whatever. I mean, that jersey also, like, I haven't worn that in forever. And I actually have another good story about the whole name thing, but I can tell that for another time in terms of when they messed up my friend's jersey and they had to run around the arena trying to find another one that fit him because he got a Matt Bradley jersey. But I feel like I've told that story before as well.
I think you have. Matt Bradley's amazing too.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was an entertaining evening, let me tell you. So yeah, somehow that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if people have enjoyed our rambling and they want to hear what other shows you might ramble on, where would they go to do that?
Well, of course, like you said, go to our Facebook page. But since we talked about what jersey you're going to wear and what you're going to do at the game, you realize now you have to post a selfie with what jersey you're wearing at the game.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember to do that. I'll be honest right now.
You're going to have to.
Straight up, not going to remember to do that. And I'd be like, yeah, sure. I'm just telling you now. It's not happening because I'm not going to remember. You can text me. And then I'll be like, oh, yeah. And then I probably still won't do it. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, if Coach Dan remembers, like he said, go over to our Facebook page and you can check out his
photo. Can tweet me and ask.
Yeah, do that too. Maybe I'll put it on the gram, but I don't know. All right. So, yeah, you can go check out my other podcast, The Call Podcast. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We're going to have a new show coming out later this week. So if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan or if you want to get into football, you can check me out on The Call as well as this podcast, What the Puck. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, give us 5 stars, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. All right, so that's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. The Caps are on the road. Road tripping it until next week. So that means on October 24th, the Capitals are in Edmonton up against the Oilers. That game starts at 9 o'clock. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. The next night on the 25th, the Caps are in the beautiful city of Vancouver up against those crazy Canucks. You can watch that game locally on NBC Sports Washington Plus, or you can watch it on ESPN Plus if you pay for that app. And then on Tuesday, October 29th, the Capitals visit Toronto up against the Maple Leafs. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can check that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then we should be back, and probably do a show before Halloween, so we'll talk then. So, Coach Dan, what do you think? What are you thinking? 3 games, what are the Caps coming away with?
Well, I said, 2-1 last time?
Yeah.
I'm going to do the same thing, 2-1.
2-1? What's it going to be like to see Jay Beagle again?
I think it'll be nice for the guys to see him.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll wear my Jay Beagle shirt that day.
You should. Beagles is my boy. I miss that guy. All right, everybody. That's it for the show this week. Say it loud. Say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
He existed.
Okay.
He probably couldn't walk yet, but he existed. Or he could barely walk, but he existed.
That was the creepiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
You
just said he couldn't walk yet, but the walk went like, wow. Like, it was...
he go, wow.
You sounded like Wally or something there for a second. That was weird.
He could walk.